series of lessons on the prodigal son. We've already looked at the son himself, the way away. Then we noticed the way back, next lesson. And last Sunday evening, yeah, the third. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the reception that the son received when he came home. This evening, we'll look at the elder brother and the way he received the son. One little article I saw at the bottom, self-titled Melody and F. I don't know who wrote that, but I saw this in a bulletin decades ago. But you can find it, follow along. I know it's smaller print and everything else, but we'll give it a go. But at the bottom of your notes, there's a feeling footloose and frisky. A feather-brained fellow forced his fond father to fork over the farthings. And flew far to foreign fields, and frittered his fortune, feasting fabulously with faithless friends. Fleeced by his fellows in folly, and facing famine, he found himself a feed flinger in a filthy farmyard. Faring famishly, he fain would have filled his frame with forage food from fodder fragments. Phooey, my father's flunkies fare far finer. The frazzled fugitive forlornly fumbled, frankly facing facts. Frustrated by failure and filled with foreboding, he fled forthwith to his family. Falling at his father's feet, he forlornly fumbled. Father, I've flunked and fruitlessly forfeited family fellowship favor. The far-sighted father, forestalling further flinching, frantically flagged the flunkies. That was, that's the funniest line in there to me. He frantically flagged the flunkies to fetch a fatling from the flock and fix a feast. The fugitive's fault-finding brother frowned on fickle forgiveness of former folderall. But the faithful father figured, filial fidelity is fine, but the fugitive is found. What forbids festivity? Let flags be unfurled, let fanfares flare. Father's forgiveness formed the foundation for the former fugitive's future fortitude. I did not memorize this. I couldn't memorize that. So now today's lesson, we're going to be looking at the elder son. I put in your notes the son who stayed home. The story begins in Luke 15, verse 25. Elder brother was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Called one of his servants and asked him what these things mean. He said to him, "Thy brother has come. Your father's killed for him the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound." He was angry. Would not go in. His father came out and entreated him. Well, he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, never transgressed a commandment of thine. Thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come," and then kind of gives an "oh, by the way," "who has devoured thy living with the harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf." He said to him, "Son, you're ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad. For this, thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found." Some way, we usually make the application, this is a story about the church. Our relationship to God and to one another. The Father, I put in your notes, represents our Heavenly Father God. The prodigal son represents the waste that Christians may do in the sight of all in the far country, leaving home or leaving the congregation. Distance is not stated. I don't know how far they went when he says went to a far country. The elder brother represents, in many applications of the story, brethren at home. You know, we're in the congregation, but harboring a wrong attitude. That's our lesson. In verse 11, the story began. A certain man had two sons. Two sons. Someone said one sinned away from home. The other sinned while staying at home. One was lost in miles. The other was lost in hardness of heart. One sinned in the flesh. The other sinned in hard-heartedness. It's easy to see ourselves in the prodigal. Not so easy to see ourselves in the elder brother. Easy to see the prodigal's waste and riotous living and hog pen living. But the elder brother has hidden his heart and concealed his thoughts until his brother returns. It's easy to admit when we behave in obvious fashion like the prodigal, but not so easy to admit when we harbor resentment like the elder brother. So a certain man had two sons. We usually put lots of focus on the prodigal. But now in verse 25 for our lesson, the elder son was in the field. That's a good thing. Looks good. The prodigal was in the far country, but the brother's home. He's working, and he's probably moral, respectable. The prodigal is seen as rebellious, but the brother is seen as the father's good son. This is one of the great lessons in this story that Jesus tells. Because Jesus not only exposes the obvious sins of the son who's prodigal, but in this story, he also exposes the problems with the heart of the elder son. He exposes the heartbreak of wasting the substance in riotous living, but he's also exposing those whose sinful hearts are not revealed until a situation develops that brings it to light. And that's what happened in this story. So I put in your notes, Christians may stray from the Father in one of these two ways. You can do it like the prodigal. You'll leave the Father's house, leave the congregation, go into hog pen living. And that's an obvious one. It's obvious that this son left not wanting the Father's house, not wanting the congregation and the provisions that it offers. Now you have this second one, and like the elder brother, some stay home, they attend to things in the father's house, they work and pray. This son is looking good in the congregation, never anticipating a jealous wrath, perhaps. Perhaps this elder brother who stayed home is even saying to himself, I'll never have a temper tantrum. He might even be saying to himself, you know, I'll not be bitter. There will never be an occasion to come where I hate my brother. But like this brother, we may never anticipate a situation until it comes. And then it reveals our heart. And it reveals our inside feelings. That's one lesson from the story. So put in your notes, let's see what's wrong or what's the problem with the elder brother. I've listed six things just from the text itself. Number one, in verse 28, he was angry. Nothing wrong with being angry. Ephesians 4, verse 26. I list that. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry, but sin not. Neither give place to the devil. Well, be angry. Well, he was angry. But the elder brother working in the field hears all the merrymaking back at the house. The servant informs him, thy brother is come. Rather than rejoicing and praising God for the return of a fallen brother, he's angry. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with them who rejoice. The prodigal son had perished in hunger and want, and now the elder brother is perishing in anger. He's not rejoicing with the family who's rejoicing. See, brethren, when they're jealous or angry or hateful, it seems like they lose a sense of reasoning. Now, in some ways, sin is at its worst when God's grace is questioned. The father's received the prodigal. The brother didn't like that. The elder brother is angry at the father's reception of the return of the prodigal. He's angry because the father has forgiven a prodigal. He's angry because his brother is being restored. What's the problem with the elder brother? He's angry. Lost his sense of reasoning. Number two, he's stubborn. Servants explain to him, your brother's come. Killed for him the fatted calf. And he gives the reason, because he's received him safe and sound. But verse 28, he would not go in. He's too spiteful and too angry to rejoice on this occasion to go in. And I want to guard against that attitude. I hope I always rejoice when prodigals return. It's an occasion of rejoicing. But in last week's lesson, salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. This brother had a cold orthodoxy without the love of the Father in him. It seems like there's a side lesson to this in verse 28, where sometimes we bypass that, but the father came out and entreated him. To the son who stayed home. Father came out and entreated him too. See, God not only runs out to meet the prodigals returning, he goes out to entreat elder sons, the sons that stayed home. So we sing, yes, that song, yes, God is calling the prodigal, but he's also calling hard-hearted brethren at home. In Colossians 3, verse 8, it says, but now he also put off all these. And then he gives the list of things to put off. Anger, malice, wrath. In verse 10 of Colossians 3, he says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you want to be like the Father. And receive, not be stubborn, but receive prodigals who come home. Number three, the elder brother was selfish in verse 29. Said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. It's like some Christians today who have found the baptistry, but they haven't found Christianity. He had a form of obedience, but he hadn't found the Father. The elder brother, because of all of his good works, thought the Father owed him. That's in his message to the Father when he came out to entreat him. This brother may be doing the right things, however, it seems that it was for the wrong reasons. The elder brother doesn't see himself as a son. He sees himself as a slave in the Father's house. I'm out here working. And he's offering his work, but he's not offering himself. His service, and that's what it is, his service, his ministry, his obedience to the Father, not transgressing anything, is not one out of love, not out of joy, not out of gratitude, but more like a forced march. Notice something else in the son's speech, the word I, me and my. Verse 29, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I a commandment of thine at any time. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Feels like he's not getting the credit. Probably feeling like I'm not getting the recognition. I'm not getting the thank you dinner that I think is owed me. I should have a meal in my honor, he's probably thinking. There should be a banquet presenting me with a certificate. Probably that's the way he's thinking. He's selfish. Number four, he has this feeling of being superior. Verse 29, that part of his speech, neither transgressed I at any time a commandment of thine. So kind of like the brother's a religious bookkeeper. No offenses, but he's not a brother. He's keeping records. I've never transgressed a commandment of thine at any time. And I want to say to the brother, really? Really? He also put in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Familiar parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18, in verse 11 in particular, where the two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stands and prays thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Thank you that I'm not like other men. He says, I'm extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I have. And then the publican prays differently. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus concludes, this man, meaning the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. It seemed like this elder son who stays home is doing a great imitation of this Pharisee who stands up, and I thank you that I'm not like other men. I've never transgressed a commandment, Father. You've never given me, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So he was feeling pretty superior. Number five, he's jealous. Still in verse 29, part of his speech. You never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. It seemed like this brother's digging himself in deeper in hard-heartedness and resentment. Going just from one line to the other. See, this brother didn't want a brother. He wanted a goat. Oh, your brother's come. I don't want a brother. I want a goat. I want a party. He's saying, my brother is wasteful. He comes home and he gets a fatted calf. And you've never given me a kid. He gets the fatted calf. And I almost want to say, you've never given me anything? Or wait a minute, how does that story begin in verse 11? Certain man had two sons. The younger said to him, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father gave unto them. To them? The older son received also. And being an older son of the two boys, he received a double portion. So he received two-thirds. And the son that was prodigal took his third and went to a far country. And now this elder brother says, you've never given me, well, he says a kid, but almost the implication is, I've never received anything from you, Father. Oh, wait a minute. The story began. He divided unto them his living. So don't tell me you've never received. He's blind to all that the Father's blessed him with. Then number six, he's a judge. Verse 30. Well, now thy son, not my brother. It's your son, Father, has come, which has, and then kind of like an aside, and oh, by the way, which has devoured thy living with the harlots. This brother doesn't know all that his brother did in the far country, I don't think. It's not revealed. He's judging his brother's actions, and he's judging the father's reception of his brother, so he makes a bitter judgment on both. Makes a bitter judgment on his brother and on the reception the father gives him. Here's the lesson. If you love the Father, you'll have to love His children too. 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. There's three conclusions to the elder brother's conclusion. At least I think it might be more. know, the brother said, well, this brother has devoured thy living among the harlots. Well, how do you know? Well, if it was the truth, maybe he had his brother followed and the detective reported back. So the elder brother was happy to investigate, but not happy to welcome back a penitent brother. Happy to go look, see on everything you did. Maybe that's one way the elder brother made a conclusion. Second, he may have just been plain old gossip. This is what I heard, what my brother did in the far country. It got back to the house. Or third, a possibility for the brother's conclusion is maybe he's judging himself. He's saying, you know, if I'd gone to the far country, that's what I would have done. Might be revealing more about himself than his brother. So the closing, I've listed six things to talk about the elder brother. That's his problem that he has. But the father informs, the father teaches the elder brother. He comes out, and this is the message of the father to the elder brother. Thou art ever with me. That's right. We're on God's side. All that I have is thine. We have access to all spiritual blessings. We lack nothing to get us from here to heaven. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. Necessary. It's something that we do when someone comes home. We make merry. The reason given, because this, and now the father doesn't say my elder son. He says your brother or thy brother was dead and is alive again. Was lost and is found. End of story. So the lesson on the elder brother, many ways a lesson on how to receive one another. When a brother comes home and a brother repents and desires to be restored, be a son in the father's house, in the congregation, it's meet to make merry. Meet to make merry. I'd like to think that the elder brother took the father's message to heart. Doesn't say. I'd like to think, in just my imagination, that his heart did change and that he told the father. Maybe, perhaps, in my imagination, I just want to picture the son coming back and enjoying the return of his brother. Join the potluck. So that's the lesson. I may do just a review next week, next Sunday evening. Two Sundays from today, Christine and I will be away from JC. And Clarence will be teaching the Bible class for me. And Dennis Everett has the sermon during the morning assembly. And Chris has the sermon during the evening assembly. So I just wanted to kind of just summarize, since it's taken a month and a half to get through these four lessons, to give you a review and not say the same things over again, but I'm going to say the same things a little bit different way in the review. So that's next Lord's Day evening, Lord willing. I'll give you a note, some notes. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you've never been baptized for remission of sins. And you've heard that good news, God's gracious offering of forgiveness, God's gracious offering of adding us to his family, instilling within us the hope of heaven. And so we extend that invitation, because there may be one here this evening who says, I want to obey the gospel. And just simply come and have a seat beside me and let that request be known. And at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you what's on your mind. And your answer would be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or, Brian, I want to have brethren pray with me or for me. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for.